On the phone, we have Kristen Copper, who is an organizer with the 518 Direct Support Professional Alliance. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Can you tell us a bit about the 518 Direct Support Professional Alliance?
Sure. So it's a group that brings together people who work in the field with people with IDD and disabilities. A lot of the members are direct support professionals who work within homes or day programs. But we also have some people who just feel passionate about advocating for the rights for people with disabilities in the field in general, and they are very welcome to join as well.
So what is a direct support professional?
It's someone who provides direct care to people with disabilities. So they help them with living skills, you know, they help them cook, they help them make meals, they help them take showers, they help them get dressed in the morning. And then it can also go to other things as well, like helping them in a workplace, learning a job, helping them learn budgeting skills, taking them out into the community to meet with friends and family members. So direct support professionals really carry out a wide variety of tasks on the job. And it's really important work and meaningful work.
Who are the kinds of folks who need that support?
So there's people within the residential homes who, you know, have the direct care workers in the homes helping them with the daily living skills. And then in the day habilitation programs, there's staff there who provide, you know, different learning activities for them to do, help them learn social skills if they need that, help them out and to get out into the community. So it's people who just kind of need that extra support or care. And that's what direct support professionals are there to do, to help with whatever needs they have.
And so why do direct support professionals need the support of an alliance?
So right now the field is facing a really terrible staffing crisis. Statewide, there's a 25% vacancy rate. And a lot of the homes and programs are actually having to close down because of the severe understaffing issues. And a lot of that is stemming from a lack of living wages for DSPs. Around here, the starting wage, I know I personally was making $12.80 an hour. That's a wage, you know, people can't live off of that. They can't pay their bills at home. They can't pay their rent. They can't buy groceries off of that wage. So it's very hard for agency providers to retain or also attract new staff to be direct support professionals. So in my opinion, I really view that the lack of a living wage is causing this terrible staffing crisis to happen. So 518 DSPA or Direct Support Professional Alliance is advocating for an increase in funding so that we can start providing a true living wage to DSPs and to help combat the workforce crisis that's happening. And so that, you know, the people who are in the homes and programs can start having a decent quality of life, because right now the staffing crisis is so bad, it's really impacting them.
What is your definition of a living wage?
I would say, you know, in a perfect world, direct support professionals should be making at least 18 to 20 an hour, if not a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of certifications and training they have to go through. A lot of them have to be med certified. So you're passing medications, you know, you're taking medications into the homes, you're sorting them, you're actually administering them. That's a huge responsibility. And you're caring for somebody every day and making sure, you know, things are going well. So they really deserve a living wage. And I would say, you know, around here in the capital region, 18 to 20 hour at least, so that they can comfortably pay their bills and, you know, live a good lifestyle at home as well.
What's the impact on the people with disabilities when you're looking at a 25% shortfall in staffing? What does their day look like?
So unfortunately, when COVID hit, you know, everyone was staying home. But afterwards, you know, things started opening up in New York and a lot of us kind of returned to some, I guess you would call some normalcy. But in a lot of these homes and programs that are run by the nonprofit agencies, it hasn't been able to fully return to normalcy, and that's because of the staffing crisis. Statistically, 48% of agencies had to close programs or reduce operations due to the staffing shortages. So that really shows, you know, 48%. A lot of the people used to go to dayhab programs where they could do, you know, their activities, they could get out into the community. Some places haven't been able to do that. Some places haven't been able to reopen day programs because they don't have the staff for it. So there's some people who have been home, you know, unable to return to their previous normalcy because of the staffing issue. And that's not right. That's not a good quality of life for them.
So you're talking about people with disabilities who are just sitting at home alone without support because there's no money to pay for the people to do it.
Basically, yeah. Yep. And, you know, it's hard to get the correct amount of staff into the homes as well when we're dealing with this issue. So a lot of the staff, you know, might be running below the ratios that are recommended. So a house that, you know, previously would run on 3 staff now might be running on 1. So it's harder to get people out of the house to do their preferred activities. And it's just harder all around to provide the proper care to people when you're understaffed. And it kind of, you know, brings into another issue. This understaffing is causing direct support professionals to work a lot of hours, unhealthy amounts of hours. You know, I know DSPs who are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week to cover the openings.
From what little I know about this this area, it seems like a lot of the issues are really about poverty. People with disabilities who can't work are kept at poverty level. By definition, they're not allowed to have assets of more than, I don't know, $2,000. If they work at all, that's deducted from their supports, from their Social Security disability. So the whole climate in which care of people with disabilities exists in this country is one of just deprivation, not just of the people who are themselves disabled, but the people who take care of them. What do you think needs to happen for that to change?
I think there needs to be more awareness in our communities about what's happening. There needs to just be more integration of people with disabilities into our communities as well.
It just seems striking that in such a wealthy country that there's so many people with basic human needs who aren't getting served by the system that we have put in place. I guess it's better than other places, but it just seems to be, lacking. What are you all doing to try to change this situation?
We're really, you know, welcoming more people to join and want this to, you know, create a movement where we can bring these issues to light, have outside community members start learning about what's going on and try to push for change, you know, try to push politicians to really advocate for increasing the funding because that's what we need.
So what you're talking about is a need for a political movement that can put pressure on political leaders to make the changes that you have, that you see are necessary.
Yeah, yep.
And so how can people become a part of that movement?
So you can find 518 Direct Support Professional Alliance on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/518DSPA. We also have an email that you can always feel free to reach out to, 518DSPA@gmail.com. We send out newsletters about what events that are coming up, ways to join in. So we're always open to people reaching out.
What would you like to say that I forgot to ask you? Anything you want to add?
Just that I think, you know, part of the reason we're starting to push for changes now is because direct support professionals worked through all of COVID. We were putting, you know, our own health and safety on the line to provide care to other people. And, you know, we're happy to do that because we truly care about the people we support. But when you're doing that, that just really shows that we need the recognition, the respect, and we deserve to be paid a living wage for the work that we're doing.
Well, Kristen Copper, thank you so much for being with us here on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.